Welcome to the Lonely TARDIS, your trip through Time Lords and space, a journey through the world of Doctor Who. I am excited. My name is Dolly Domofsky. Joining me this week, as usual, Stephen Strum.
Hey there. Hi there. Ho there.
And no Sean Norton. Sean is off at in San Francisco getting some heavy work done over there. No work on himself. Or is he? He's turning into one of the Silents.
Yeah, well, it was interesting that I thought it was kind of weird when he was sitting down at the podcast with us and then just disappeared into the shadows, never to be seen again, and he was already in San Francisco again. It was crazy. It was so fast.
Time had stopped for us. We completely forgot about him.
Poor Sean.
So, poor Sean. Anyways, Sean will be drinking with us next week. Sean will be with us next week as we discuss it. A lot of stuff going on, but really most importantly is we're finally back. Doctor Who returns this upcoming weekend around the world. I'm really excited. It's a fantastic weekend for people that like sci-fi and fantasy. With Doctor Who on Saturday and then Game of Thrones on Sunday. And Bioshock Infinite came out this week. And there's a couple really good books coming out. And yeah, there's a lot of great things if you're into sci-fi and fantasy, so I'm pretty
beautiful.
Stoked. Pretty beautiful. Stoked. But we're going to focus on Doctor Who, hence the name Lonely TARDIS. Topics for this week, definitely, we're gonna get into the Bells of St. John and some of the things we know about that, some of the 50th anniversary information, some of the notes we have about some of the evil monsters we'll be seeing this year, Doctor Who coming to PlayStation, and prequel episodes, which are always all the rage. Let's get into the prequel episodes because they do set up what's going to take place the rest of this way out.
Sure. Well, at least the one does.
Well, they both do, apparently. So two prequel episodes were released over the last couple days here. First prequel episode is a direct prequel to the Bells of St. John, which is the first episode of the second half of the season. And this prequel, both of them are about 2 minutes long or so, I'd say. And they fall in line with the, I think it was Pond Life, is that what it was called last summer?
Mm-hmm.
With Amy and Rory. Falls right in line with those types of prequels where they're just meant to dangle a carrot out there as to what could happen and throughout the season without actually giving away anything or without it really having a deep storyline or ties to any storyline until potentially later on.
Nothing vital, anyway.
Yes.
You could jump in.
Yeah, exactly. And they're great little snippets and vignettes of characters that just help kind of set a little bit of a backdrop. So the Bells of St. John prequel, which is what it's called, begins by showing the Doctor sitting on a swing set, lonely. We are the Lonely TARDIS, and the Doctor was lonely. Sitting on a UK swing set, just kind of contemplating things and swinging back and forth. Not really, you know, he looked a little bit lost until a wonderful little girl runs up to him and kind of starts to poke and prod and find out information and why he's sad. And he actually says kind of interesting. Do you remember what he said about losing someone?
Not specifically.
Okay, well, the girl asked.
I remember.
Yeah, the girl had asked, you know, what did you lose? And he said that he had lost something. And she said, what did you lose? And he said, well, didn't really want to get into it, but she told him how whenever.
Lost my friend. That's
yeah,
what he said.
Yeah, he said he lost his friend. But she said, well, whenever she loses something, she, you know, goes back to where she, you know, where she had lost it.
You don't fucking remember what happened anymore,
yeah.
Than I
do. No. But it all kind of leads to the point where she's kind of telling the Doctor, hey, you know what? Keep looking. Eventually you'll find whatever you lost and you'll find your friends or friend. The Doctor explains how it's someone that he was looking for that he's trying to find her. He doesn't really know how, and how she just kind of turns up whenever he's standing still, you know? And so he says, well, thank you very much. You know, I guess maybe I'll just kind of try something new. And so he starts to walk away, and she runs over.
She starts to walk away.
Oh,
he stays on the swing set.
That's right. He stays on the swing set. She starts to walk away, and she hears her mother calling for her. She runs over to her mother, and her mother says, Clara Oswald, I told you not to talk to strange men. So there's that tie right there. The little girl, the little, you know, 10-year-old, 9-year-old girl was little Clara.
Yeah, being very Amy Pond.
Being very Amy Pond. But I did like how the kind of play on that, if the Doctor stands still long enough, Clara will pop up. And I think that's going to be a theme this season, that wherever he goes, she's going to end up being there.
Yeah, I think the idea is maybe that when he says whenever he's standing still, I think he was specifically referencing whenever he is stuck in a rut and in a bad place with his life, because she showed up at the Daleks episode when he was, you know, not in a good way, being all kind of clandestine and didn't have his friends around, and then she showed up again when he was being all Scrooge McDuck on everybody.
I like the Scrooge McDuck. DuckTales is coming. They're remaking DuckTales, so there we go. Yep.
Yeah. So there's that, and I think that's kind of what he was implying when he said that. He wasn't being literal and saying, like, when I stopped moving. Yeah. But it was like, whenever he's in a bad place, which I think, I will bet you 10 to 1 that it is something or someone is intentionally using her as bait to get him going and whatnot. But we'll see. We'll see how that works out. But that's my theory right now. Is that some force is intentionally using her to bring him out of his ruts and keep him active and stuff like that, either for good reason or bad reason. But we'll see.
I think. I mean, we did find out some really interesting things this last week about how because this is a 50th anniversary year, I guess, of Doctor Who, we could potentially see a pretty wide gap between the end of season 7 and the beginning of season 8. Obviously, you're going to be focusing everything at the end of, after this year, everything begins to focus on this big special in November and everything leading up to it. And so we're not going to see anything in November, and it's going to be that November special is repeated on Christmas Day. So that's actually the Christmas Day episode as well.
So then there's no Christmas special this year?
No new Christmas special. It's going to be this. From what I'm hearing, it's going to be the same Doctor Who 50th anniversary special. Just be, you know,
what
be
are
the,
they doing?
And so we won't potentially see a new Doctor Who until next April.
Which is what we're hearing. What the hell?
I mean, I'm pretty confident that we'll have specials and things like that all throughout this year, but that's not gonna make up for a lack of actual full on episodes. So,
yeah,
and then things could be very different after that 50th anniversary.
I don't even know what to make of what you just told me. The fact that they are skipping the Christmas special for the first time since 2005, that is insane.
I think this was that was nonsense. Revealed as part of their, because I mean the 50th anniversary is at the end of November. It's like that last Saturday of November, and so
that coupled with like I was having a conversation with Sean about what Moffat is doing for the 50th.
Go ahead. Let's chat about that now.
Well, first I'll say what I was going to say, but then I've got something here from our good buddy Sean as well, who wanted to talk about it very specifically. But from my take, it sounds to me more and more like they are cutting the budget down on Doctor Who.
Really?
Like big time. Not necessarily just because it's Doctor Who and like Doctor Who's not doing well for them or anything. I think they're just cutting budget like across the board because recently, the BBC also announced that they were closing one of their studios or something like that, or one of their buildings that had been around for 50 years or something. That got closed down, and they sold that off, or they're trying to sell that off. And that mixed with the way that Moffat has been slowly reining back all of his talk about Doctor Who from the over and over again. So it's like he comes out and says, well, it's not going to have all the main doctors. Well, it's only actually going to be an hour long, not 2 hours long. Well,
I guess they have refined that's going to be 90 minutes now.
It is going to be 90 minutes. Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, but then now I'm saying, still, like, well, we're going to have that, but we're just going to repeat that instead of doing another episode for this. Well, we're going to wait a full goddamn year until the next episode, even though we just had a huge hiatus and these seasons are already only 13 episodes long.
Yep.
It seems to me like they are very intentionally cutting costs, and they don't have, or not even that they're cutting costs, but they maybe just don't have the money at all to do it. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm driving at.
I think you're probably right. And if there was ever a time for I don't want to say a U.S. production house to come in and save Doctor Who and take it over, but at least to come in and help fund it, because I really think we're at a point now where, and this is what happened with Lost in the U.S., in that they had these long breaks in between episodes and in between, you know, first half and second half of seasons, and people lost interest. I'd hate for that to happen to Doctor Who in where, you know, you have a...
it just peters out.
It just peters out, exactly. You have, you know, five solid episodes, and it goes on like a six, seven-month break, and then they have another five solid episodes, and people will lose interest in that way. So I really, you know, this could be prime opportunity, and hopefully it's not Stars, because they butchered
Torchwood.
But, you know, I'd love to see secondary or tertiary network come in, and I don't want to say sci-fi, but, you know...
AMC.
AMC. Like, you know, AMC could be pretty good, yeah.
Get super ironic with it. The American movie channel takes over the British channel or something. Or just, you know, I was going to put it on BBC America, but that is still BBC, isn't it?
That is still BBC, yeah.
Yeah, but somebody, or FX, or that's maybe not a programming.
What if Comcast NBC does something? I mean, they have tons of money right now, and I know they're.
Do they?
Yeah, NBC, well,
NBC certainly doesn't.
Well, Comcast owns NBC, so that's why they have.
These very specifically, NBC gets killed in the ratings consistently.
Well, Saturday nights. I mean, how, you know, you have Doctor Who right on before Saturday Night Live. That could actually be kind of a cool killer lineup on Saturday evenings.
You know what? Totally. That's the kind of thing, like, when I was growing up, like, you had your Saturday nights and everything. Yeah, it's just like, this is our weird, like, block of crazy quality programming on a Saturday night. Sure. Uh-huh. Great. That would totally bring me back in on NBC, sure.
The other option would be, and I'd hate to say, like, WB or whatever that network is, but... CW now. That's stuff like that is always an option, but that regardless, now's the time. I think Doctor Who could make a really solid impact. I mean, look at what Sherlock's doing in the U.S. and Downton Abbey. I mean, they're huge amounts of press, and people are really flocking to it. And I mean, Sherlock spawned its own show in the U.S. a version of Sherlock Holmes.
Basically, yeah. Like, I mean.
House of Cards, Netflix. How badass would Netflix be if they picked up Doctor Who?
Absolutely. All of a sudden, all of this is just pie in the sky talk, because obviously BBC is not going to give up their crown jewel,
correct?
Which is, I guess, maybe next to Top Gear. I don't know. Top Gear sounds like it does better for them, but British TV is so super popular in America now. It is crazy that the BBC does not make some kind of joint thing with an American company, because their programming is fucking huge over here.
Fantastic.
These days.
It's huge.
Never been bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway,
so we'll get more into the 50th in a little bit here, but we'll get back to the other prequel episode, which was Demons Run 2 days later. I found this to be, if we and I just watched it
literally for the first time.
Yeah. And found it personally. I'm gonna say I enjoyed both of them, but I enjoyed this one for just the comic lines that were kind of thrown about, and I kind of love the Scooby team of characters.
So before we get ahead of ourselves, let's say what happened in this thing for those who haven't.
I'll let you go ahead and explain this once I explained the previous one.
Oh, thank you very much. So Demons Run 2 days later. It is. Just like it sounds, it is 2 days after the events of Demon's Run, which, if you remember correctly, is where we found out the true identity of River Song as being Amy and Rory's child. Strax, Vastra, and Jenny are all hanging out on the space station where it takes place, or the episode took place, and we basically get a glimpse into how they all came together at the beginning, where they are at the beginning of Clara's arc here at the beginning of the... or during the Christmas special this year, or last year. And so we just basically see Vastra and Jenny talking to Strax, telling him that there's a place for him with them in London, and there's some goofy little interplay between the two of them, or between the three of them. You get a little bit more pathos from Vastra, which I think was kind of severely lacking in between the events of Demon's Run and The Snowmen, which she seemed much more of a fleshed out character in The Snowmen. We talked about it ourselves, talking about how Jenny Strax and Vastra would make a great spin-off series. this 1900s period piece sci-fi detective show.
Like a weird version of Sherlock, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like a version of Sherlock that instead of a bromance is a very literal lady romance.
A lomance. Does that make sense? No.
No, I don't. Go back, try it again. Maybe edit that out. we can try this joke again. Let's workshop it. So yeah,
there's a whiteboard on my wall with names of.
Yeah, it was. So it's just some funny little stuff that kind of sets up the events prior to the Snowmen and how they all kind of came together. And if we thought that they were trying to make a spinoff with those characters before. This is like the nail in the coffin that says, like I told you before this thing started, I don't know if this is ever going to happen, but somebody at the production crew or on the writing staff somewhere is trying to make this spinoff happen, especially with the line where they basically just give the pilot pitch for what their show would be. Like, we solve crimes in London, and there's an awful lot of running, and we have adventures. And okay.
the final line at the end where Strax turns to Jenny and with Vastra and says, "Will you be the man in this?"
I don't know much about. I'm not an expert in alien physiology, but you are women types, yes? And they're like, "Yes, most people would say so." And he says, "Like, then don't you need a man type?" And they're like, "No." And he says, "Am I the man one?" And
then they look at each other. They said, "No, yeah."
And then Strax closes out the little preview with, "So dresses then."
Fantastic! He's a great character because he's this totally confused little man, little alien that doesn't care. He's just constantly just going. It's like wind him up. And just let him go. And that's why I love
He just walks right through it. Yeah.
It's true. He doesn't go around a wall, doesn't fall down, he just keeps walking until he gets through. I love that episode, that part of the Christmas episode where he grabs the memory slug and says, the doctor, the memory slug is ready to go. The doctor says, "All right, bring it over here." Like a second later, "Doctor, the memory slug is ready to go."
Yeah, that is bring it over here.
Bring what?
Yeah, that's Strax is a great comic relief, and I think Vastra and Jenny are great as. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think they have amazing potential. We haven't seen them just do their own thing enough yet, which because they're always playing support to the Doctor. But if we could see them, maybe an episode Love and Monsters, or Blink, where instead of focusing on the Doctor, we focus on some other characters ancillary to the Doctor. I would totally love an episode where we got to just get to know these two a little bit better and got to see them on their own adventure with the Doctor taking a backseat.
I think they are confirmed to be back later this season in at least one other episode. So it's going to
probably has this little preview.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what takes place. But we mentioned the gap just between Series 7 and Series 8, and I think part of that, just a quick clarification, and this was coming from Jenna Louise Coleman in a couple of interviews, said that there could be a lot before Series 8 starts because Steve Moffat is doing Sherlock. He's working on the 50th anniversary special. Right when he finishes the 50th anniversary special, he has to get back into Sherlock and continue working on that because they've just started working on the third season, haven't they? And so I think the BBC's finding some good, good ways to get that out to a lot of people. And it seems to be spreading quickly like wildfire, Sherlock is. And so kind of catch lightning in a bottle with that. So they're trying to really pump those out. So I would not be surprised if right after the 50th anniversary special, he's back on Sherlock to get a greenlit fourth season of that show going. So, so there we go. Other bits of news. I mean, we could talk about the Bells of St. John. We actually did talk about that last week, didn't we?
It's
Wi-Fi.
I think that all that's kind of left today is that, we came into this knowing it was going to be a short episode because we're just we just kind of wanted to get in before the the lock and say, holy crap, Doctor Who's next week. What's up? Good God, you guys. But I've also got a little thing here from Sean, because it's not an episode of The Lonely TARDIS without Sean Norton. He is one-third of our whole. He is the Triforce of Wisdom to our Triforce, whatever the two other Triforce pieces are. I can't remember. I don't play those baby Nintendo games.
Power, Wisdom, and Courage.
Power, Wisdom, and Courage. He is the wisdom to our power and courage. We do not exist without him. So he was generous enough to, even busy as he is at the Game Developers Conference, to write us a little thing here. Now, he does ask me specifically at the beginning to paraphrase this, because it is quite long and it is kind of stream of consciousness, so I won't read it verbatim in keeping with his wishes, but I will kind of go over some of his thoughts here, even though it is, I believe, a pretty well-written little thesis or a little thing here. Basically, he goes on to say that he loves that Doctor Who inspires such optimism and friendship and love in the geek community, and that it is such a non-cynical kind of thing, and dark things do happen, but it's always been about bringing people together, and even the themes of the show have always been about tolerance and equality and all that stuff. And it's so great to go on, be able to go online, especially these days now that we have the internet and whatnot, and talk to other people and become friends over such a thing as Doctor Who. And he loves that. But he's saying that, and this part here I will quote, "I'm not really that guy these days, and that bums me out." he says that he's not. It's not that he's not a super fan. I'll just read a little bit of a quote here. "I'm not saying I'm done with the show or anything silly. It's still fairly brilliant television, and when they're on, they produce compelling, if not breathtaking, adventures week in and week out. But the big payoff has been lacking for years. The big mysteries, when solved," quote, or in parentheses here, "if solved." Caps for if your microphone is crackling something fierce on my end, Deli.
I'm not hearing anything on my end.
Ooh, man, yeah, you sound like a Dalek to me. Real bad. Yeah, basically.
Continue though.
But it's not even like the server lag. It's just like, ooh, it's just some bad audio. Sorry. Edit this part out. People don't need to hear this. sorry, Sean. The big mysteries, so unsolved, if solved, are underwhelming at best, massively disappointing at the worst. Let me see if I can do this in a Sean Norton voice. "And so I've gone from blindly, rapidly enthusiastic to cautiously optimistic." I don't know if that's a Sean impression at all. Oh, God, this is falling off the rails.
Yes.
"Bordering on apathetic, but I was still excited and curious to see where season 7 go with a new companion, a twist on the companion relationship, and most importantly, the 50th anniversary finally visible on the horizon, an event unlike anything that's been done on TV before, a shining beacon of hope that, in spite of previous storytelling disappointments, would be a chance to revel completely and totally in being a Doctor Who fan, a chance to bask in 50 years. 50 years of franchise history. Except based on all the current reports, lol, nope."
Lol, nope.
Which he actually does right. He goes on to say, "From the sound of it, the Moff is going to make this more of his thing." Basically, he goes on to say that he is disappointed that the Moff has
the
chosen
Moff.
The Moff. That's what me and him have been referring to him in DMs recently, so I'm just going to keep rolling with it. He's basically disappointed that the Moff is using this as a springboard, or it seems like he's going to use it as a springboard for his own stories and stuff, rather than a celebration of the 50 years of television, which, as Sean points out, is unprecedented. he has a list here saying that he's disappointed that it is 60 minutes long, no Captain Jack, no Martha Jones, and parentheses, so far, no Doctors 4 through 9. It's going to be, quote, be its own adventure that paves the way for the next series. It has to look forward, or something, according to the Moff. So he keeps going on to say that he disagrees wholeheartedly with that idea, that he thinks that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and, you know, technically speaking, he is right, to celebrate such a long and storied history, and be that, rather than kind of try and play off more mysteries and more unsolved questions, unanswered questions, that is, which we talked about last week. And he is bummed about that. He is bummed that it's not going to try and wrap anything up, that it's not going to try and connect the dots or anything like that. Rather, it's going to just be more, he believes it's going to be more of Moff's big promises and no payoff.
You know, I think Sean has some really good points, but I also kind of think that maybe this 50th anniversary does need to be a standalone thing that doesn't have every answer, you know, handed to us, doesn't have every loose end tied up. I'm the kind of person that wants to be able to sit on the couch and with my wife sitting next to me, both of us watch this episode, and she'll be getting into it for the very first time, and I'll be getting into it with tons of Doctor Who history and knowledge behind me. Both of us really enjoy it, and both of us kind of come away with things that we really like about it and can connect with it. And I think if you're having to bring in all this history and having to tie up these loose ends, and it's really off-putting for people that haven't ever watched Doctor Who. So I think a standalone, almost like a graphic novelization of Doctor Who, a singular episode, like an extended Christmas episode that has a lot of touches of classic Doctor Who, but really relies on its story, I think that's maybe where it needs to go.
Yeah. Personally, my thing is I'm not even that concerned with the anniversary so much as the stuff leading up to the anniversary and where we go forward from there, you know?
Sure.
As Sean put it in our thing, and like I mentioned, he did point out that he was upset about it being 60 minutes, which we now know it actually sounds like it's going to be 90 instead. So that is one thing that you should like. Anyway, I'm more concerned about them just answering questions, because as Sean puts it, like, Moffat keeps bringing up questions and then not answering them. I talked about this last week. We still don't know what the crack in the TARDIS was. We don't know what caused the TARDIS to explode in the first place. We don't know, what's going on with the Dream Lord. We don't know what's going on with any of this stuff. And they just keep adding more and more and more layers to it and not answering any of this stuff. You mentioned Lost and how that kind of petered out and everything like that. It kind of did the same thing. It raised a lot of questions, didn't have any answers to them, and then just wrapped things up with and brushed everything else under the rug.
I totally agree. I think I almost think that leading up to Doctor Who 50th anniversary, we need those questions or a lot of those questions answered, because coming off of that, there's going to be a lot of new Doctor Who fans. Potentially, if this is panning out to be the kind of episode that we're thinking it might be. And you can't start dropping megaton after megaton for people that don't know what these megatons mean after this big 50th anniversary. I think you have to answer those either leading up to it or in I hate to say these online vignettes, these little short stories, but maybe that's what you need to get some of these smaller questions out of the way.
Maybe that's the solution. Maybe if they don't, like we talked about, maybe if they don't have the money to keep doing big, massive way, maybe they have to start moving towards the online stuff, you know?
Definitely.
If they can make it work, and if they can make money off of it, and if they can like continue making Doctor Who, and they just want to start, instead of doing full, seasons of Doctor Who every year, if they want to start moving this to, and if they can make it all same quality and just do one episode of Doctor Who every week for the whole, till the end of time without any of these stupid breaks, and they want to just break it down to a 22-minute half-hour web series or something like that, and they never would. But, maybe that's a solution, to consider for, for our own speculation anyway, because it's never going to happen. But, it's an interesting idea. And just maybe push into the online stuff a little bit more, at least. If not moving the whole show, try something with it. These vignettes are always great and fun. They're super short, but maybe it's time to give them a bigger highlight.
Sure. Totally agree. With that said, we would love to hear from you guys when this new episode of Doctor Who airs. It takes place on this coming Saturday. So if you're listening to this podcast, then be ready for this weekend. Please tweet at us. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us now whenever we get a website back up. At Lonely TARDIS. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at CoolRats, KEWLRATS. You can tweet at Sean Norton, which is Sean's Twitter account. What's yours, Steven?
That is Steven Strom, STEVENSTROM.
And please let us know what you think about this. You can tell us what you're hoping to come out of this episode and what you've thought of the episode, and we'll read these comments on our next Lonely TARDIS. next week.
Yeah.
Rock on. With that said, thank you, everybody. Please rate and review us on iTunes. Leave a comment and tell your friends about us. It really helps.
Yeah, and you can also check out our other stuff on sidequesting.com if you want to, if you're into video games and that sort of thing.
And geek culture and stuff, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, geek culture, all kinds of stuff. We're going to have a whole bunch of stuff up there these days. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we post Doctor Who news on there, too, every once in a while. Sure. Although, shout out to our friends at Doctor Who, which we use for a lot of our information on the show anyway. So definitely. Check them out, too. Why not?
All right, everybody, that's it for The Lonely TARDIS. We will see you guys next time after the bells of St. John.
That's the bell. Get it?